As an educator for over 35 years, you can get the vibe who truly cares about their job and the people surrounding it. And that's Dr. Anna Alvarado in a nutshell. I was honored to interview Dr. Alvarado for Timbuktu and learn all the great things happening in FSD 145. Let's take a listen.
I have the honor of speaking with Superintendent of FSD 145, Dr. Anna Alvarado, not only a wonderful individual, a friend of mine, a great Cub fan, but someone that I was so excited to really do a Timbuktu with. So thank you so much, Anna, for being here.
Oh my gosh. I have the honor of being interviewed by Tim Connors.
Okay, I'll pay you the dollar later.
That's right. It's a mutual admiration club
is.
Right
it
here.
Is. We
right?
are a mutual. We've had that for years.
That's
we have
right.
That. Anna, I know that you have had a fabulous career that keeps getting better and better, but you've done a lot of great things. And then we hear Dr. Anna Alvarado is going to be superintendent of schools. Why Freeport?
Well, my first question when I get asked that is, my first response when I get asked that is always, why not Freeport, right? When I got that call from Peter Flynn, I remember I was heating my food on the third floor of central office in CPS, and he goes, "Hello, this is Peter Flynn," and you know, and he says, "You know, I'm a recruiter for you know whatever he's working for," and he says, "You know, Freeport is looking for a superintendent, and your name, you know, came up, and that you might be someone who might be interested and." And I said, well, I'm not really looking to be a superintendent. But he said, would you just try? Would you just meet the board? So, and I agreed to meet the board. I came out of that first initial introduction to the board and I told my husband who was waiting in the parking lot, I can work for that board. They share my same passion and belief. They were so sincere about why they were doing what they're doing. I never felt a sense of anything political. It was just almost like love at first sight. So when I got offered the contract, I never hesitated. But it was really that question to me stems from when I was new in Freeport. It was hard to find individuals from the community who build the district up. It was always a warning. It was always, oh, be careful. Oh, well, you're going to find out what. And that was such a hard to hear because to me, loyalty to your district, the place you work, is such a genuine thing that comes from, and maybe because wherever I went, I stayed for a long time. I worked in a Catholic school for 14 years. I worked in CPS for 18 years. Now, just like that, I've been here for 6 years. So I grow roots wherever I go. I'm not a hopper. And so learning the place where I work, and I want to feel good about my choice of where I intend to invest my time. So to me, why not Freeport? In spite of the, you know, some of the warnings or, you know, a lot of people leave here or, you know, I have to make it my own, right? And making my own experience means to get to know the community, to invest in relationships, and build, help be part of a genuine vision for what we can become, right? No district is perfect.
No. So I remember the first meeting, we were in the conference center, I believe it was, and we're all sitting there and you come in and, you know, I think it's one of these things that I've been in the district 25, 26 years, you know, I'm loyal to the district and
absolutely.
I love it like this. I love that. Well, you walk in. And I'm like, okay, I've heard a lot of people, oh, this kind of stuff. The first words out of your mouth, I'm like, bing, bang, there she is. That's it. Not only your energy, not only your vision, but your consistency, how you spoke and what you said about our district and what needed to happen. Talk to me a little bit about your consistency as a superintendent. What does that mean to you? Because that's a major compliment that you receive from a lot of people. Is your consistency as a superintendent.
Right. There is no guesswork in leadership. People have to know what you're about, what your value system is. And more importantly, people have to know what they expect from you, right? Consistency to me just comes from understanding the landscape that where I'm working, the people I'm working with, and knowing the context of the work by which I will do. So leadership, sometimes when people don't understand and don't know what to expect out of you, there's a lot of gaps that happen, right? And those gaps are hard to fill many times. My energy comes from I've just been this way since I was a young girl. Like, I've always just been the cheerleader, the believer that we can do this. And I grew up in the Philippines. I've just always been a believer in the goodness of people, that everybody wants to do a good job. Every kid wants to learn. Every teacher wants to teach at the best of her ability. Every principal wants to lead the way that she will lift, or he will lift up her school or his school. So to me, if I have consistency in the way I project what I believe in, and consistency in what people can expect out of me, I think that transfers over. Then my team also knows what leverage do we use to build consistency in the systems that we work around. And those things take time, but it also comes from experience over time.
Sure. And with that experience that you have built a fabulous team, not only here over on South Street, but also in your district. The amount of wonderful teachers and paras and custodians and whatever, there are so many people that care, and it bounces back because of you. And I think
that is
wonderful,
right?
To say.
Yeah. I think people have to know they're seen, right? So this morning I was, at two schools, and I said hello to the nutrition dining kitchen, staff. Said hello to custodians, whoever I bumped into. So when people know that you care and see them as individuals who are contributing in the larger work of the district, that they play, even if it's a small part or a big part, but they are equally treated as individuals, that's what helps people connect right with you. Like when they see you in the kitchen, they're excited to share what they're cooking that day, even that, right?
I am still trying to do as many things for the district as possible. I'm not in the classroom as much, but when I see you and I see others around, I now more kind of stand back and I kind of watch. And I love watching people come up to you. There's a little run in their gait because they want to tell you something, because you are proud of them.
Right.
And you are proud of that. And I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
When I know I can give Anna something in a positive way,
absolutely,
it makes me happy.
Right.
It makes me happy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question that you're going to have to take a deep breath, because I know you have a lot of things to say. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What are you happy with this district right now?
First, I'm happy with the people that I engage with. I'm happy seeing the kids learning in classrooms. I'm happy seeing our facilities improvement that we've done, because I think over time we can make our students know that we can't say we value you, but the environment where they exist are so old and, sometimes unsafe. I'm happy when I see achievement crawling up, going in the right direction. It doesn't take a lot for me to be happy. I'm excited in the morning when I see kids going into buildings. And also I'm happy that I have a team and a group of principals who understand the why, of the work that we do. And I'm happy that I have a very supportive board, because that's really important. I'm happy that we have managed to stay away from politicizing our work. I'm happy that I have a great rapport with the different unions in our district, because, if you think about it, most of the things I told you is about relationship building, is about just stopping and talking to a teacher this morning and asking, how are the students, and, what are some of the challenges with the curriculum you're experiencing? Is there something I need to know that I could bring back to my team? you know, having a conversation with a principal, just asking how, you know, the building systems are moving along. Is there something we can do to support? Right. So I'm happy that the model I've built is all about central office is here in service of schools, not the other way around.
So what are some things that you still want to see worked on? What are some things that you still want to see improvement on, even though there could be some improvement already, but more improvement?
Correct. So to me, the first thing is when you implement a new curriculum, it takes time for our teachers and administrators to really sink their, you know, teeth into what will that look like in terms of the implementation and how do we see progress. So monitoring, looking at how it's being implemented, how it's being assessed, and then going back to, you know, the drawing board, having a plan to address where are we seeing gaps in our implementation, in our teaching, and how do we address the needs of the kids? That's one. Number two is safety, right? I just want to make sure this summer, the principals and I, you know, we went back to just retraining ourselves in the behavior threat assessment, which is, do we have a process in place in every school where we know we can identify a student that might need additional support, those who are under the radar, or also clarifying, is this really a threat or is this just a student having an outburst? How do you differentiate those? So to me, that's still an area, you know, two areas that I want to make sure, you know, we have consistent processes in place. So this year's the implementation of the math curriculum. It might seem, but just teach the book. Like, it doesn't work that way, right? It takes a lot of professional learning, teacher collaboration, teacher teaming, PLCs, you know, professional learning communities, to make that work in a way that becomes a system and operationalizing how we teach.
What are some new programs that are happening in the district that you're pretty excited about?
Yeah. So I'm proud of the renaming of the Bilingual Education Department, because now it's the Department of Language and Culture. I think I am proud of the way we, that the board has allowed us and understood the importance of why we had to have this department. So it was born last year, so it's year two, as a response to what we're seeing, right? The newcomers we're seeing, the families that are coming to Freeport. Also, I'm very proud of the recruitment that HR under Dr., you know, Susan Fumo has done. You know, I shared this at the kickoff, Tim, which is 2 years ago, we had about 36 unfilled, you're right, vacancies.
Openings, yeah.
Correct. And then last year, it went down to about 26. This year, it's 1.5.
Wow.
So that is not just by accident. That's really being very strategic of our outreach. I want to make sure that we take care of our new teachers, you know, whether through mentoring or just for me, like just getting a pulse of, you know, what are their challenges, where they're feeling successful, how are they fitting into that school community, the faculty that they're part of. But also individuals such as, you know, the paraprofessionals. More and more, we've seen an increase of families applying to our preschool program. My need right now is space, right? We have a wait list because we are, you know, in the Preschool for All grant funded. We have a need to accept students who, you know, are prioritized based on, you know, high need. But my desire is really, and my vision for this is really to be able to accommodate all those students who are in the wait list, you know, improve the quality of our preschool experience so that we have our students going to kindergarten, you know, ready to learn, ready to socialize, ready to, right? So that is one thing I really want to focus on, which is how can I expand our preschool program so that, you know, the more students we are able to take into preschool, the more advantage our district has when it comes to kindergarten readiness.
Well, you know, we have something in common. We're both theater directors.
Yeah.
And no wonder I like, and we're cup fans.
We're both dramatic.
We're both, yeah, we are.
That's right. Come to me no more.
But I, you know, as theater directors, we have to look at things from the beginning, the end, and whatever. You've now been here 6 years.
Absolutely. Just like that, right? Snap of a finger. Yeah. Hey, don't forget my COVID years.
Well, no. Well, and I was just going to ask you that. You've accomplished, in my feeling, you've accomplished so much, even in those COVID years.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, no one goodness. Ever wants to be no. going back to that no. time.
Hey, let's do a musical with a mask.
That's right.
but you had the COVID years. And how are you feeling into these 6 years? Have you accomplished a lot what you've wanted? I know there's always more.
Yeah.
But are you happy?
I am ecstatic about being here. You know, it's hard to believe that it's already 6 years, crazy. You know, just like that. I think over the 6 years, you know, I always look at things or life and what can I walk away from it? And also what in my past experiences, you know, in leadership or even being a teacher in the classroom, you know, those are building blocks for me, right? No one ever prepares you for, you know, for just like no one prepares you to be a parent, but you know, you do your best to, right? But I think where I see the things that I took away from my previous experiences that brought it here is what helped me not just survive, but thrive is really understanding the context of the community that I do my work. Okay. One thing I was worried about when I was new here is, are they going to accept me, right? Because I understand communities in terms of, you know, you've got rural and urban. I came from a large city. And the fact that I came from Chicago, to me already put a lot of preconceived, you know, notions or ideas about who I am. Like they're almost defining me before I can even define myself and who I am. But I can't be so overly obsessed about that. It's right. To me, it's like, Anna, just do your thing. You know, do your thing. And when I say do your thing is get to know the people, right? You've got a 3-year contract. Use that time to get to know the board, to get to understand what is it that the board wants. I remember asking the board, each one of them during the interview is, tell me what each of you want your superintendent to be able to do. And each one of them responded in terms of, we want our students to achieve. We want the best for our students. So I knew I was working with a board that had the students in the center of the decisions that they make. And so to that, I'm in, right? I'm your girl, because that's exactly how I operate, right? And sometimes too, of course, and then what was my first task? To close Taylor Park?
Yeah.
School. Right. But again, what did I take from my previous experience, right? I came from a district where we were asked to close 50 schools, and how painful that was for the communities, because it's the neediest communities that where you were closing schools. So what I took from that was, you have to have people's voice. You have to bring in people to you. It can't just be, this is what I'm going to do, and therefore the heck with it. You just have to live with it. Right. So I think it's those moments where people get to know you. I still am at times very conscious about people feeling like, are you always bringing in people outside of Freeport, you know, in central office? Right. Because and I'm honest about that. Right. But also there's not one central office, let's say, you know, cabinet member who got hired without the process engaging like principals and teachers, right? When sure. when we hired, for example, our assistant soup for, you know, the bilingual, we had teachers in that panel or in that selection committee. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
so that's important to me, mm-hmm. right? Because these people know that when they're here, the priority is to invest time, get to know the community. People don't care much anymore where you came from if they don't know that you care about them first, right?
That's wonderful.
So,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. Well, my friend Tom, who you worked with at Chicago Public Schools, I said, yeah, Anna Alvarado is going to be our superintendent. And he goes, Anna, you're going to love her. First thing he said, I'll never forget that. And he and I talk about that when I see him. Do you have any, and when I say last words, just the end of this podcast that you would like to say to the, not only the community of Freeport, but also to our listeners that are on NPR about, about this?
You're right. You know, that kind of old, you know, coined phrase, it takes a village, but it really does, right? Now, more than any time in history, schools are being asked to do way more. Right? So much more. It's very, you know, it's very easy for people to immediately criticize what schools are doing and what schools are not doing. Okay. And I'm always a believer, until you walked in the shoes of what people do and how they encounter their jobs every day, it's challenging to understand the complexity of education, especially public education. So when I say it takes a village, we need families to be part of our schools. We need students, right? Our mission statement starts with in partnership with families, students, the community. Those are not just words, right? In everything I do, I have to think about how will this impact students? How will this land in a classroom? That's why I am, if I can, every single day, will always stop by a school, because that's how I know my decisions are landing. When we have a new curriculum, as simple as that, how will I know how's it going if I've never seen it implemented in a classroom, right? I also need for us to stop the blame game and be more solutions oriented, right? I always tell my people, when you come to me, I'm not taking, you know, there's a book, right? About what is this? About the you know, in the executive world, like people will come to the boss and talk about their issues they're experiencing and just giving you the monkeys. So the boss is walking around with all people's monkeys in their back. Right?
Got it.
So I always tell my people, how are we solutions oriented? Right. When let's say a principal brings us a certain problem they're experiencing. First of all, I love that they're able to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. I love that they're able to see their superintendent as someone who is approachable enough that they could be real. Mm-hmm. And then I have to figure out, is where is the root of this problem? Is it a systems issue? Is it a human issue? Right. Before we start solving it, is just stepping back and understanding. And I am quick to own if it's mine.
Sure.
I am quick to own. I have no problem with owning it and making sure we'll do better, right? I also want our community to believe that we are really working towards a Freeport school district that believes in what our kids can achieve. And it's not about perfection. It's not about kids getting 99 percentile, but it's about opportunities. That academy model is so fit for today's workspace, right? When our kids can have as young as sophomore, can at least see themselves, you know, in an academy that might be of interest to them. Doesn't mean that's what's going to happen, but just to be able to set a goal, right? At the end of our mission statement, it talks about, you know, being an innovative, student-centered learning environment, and inclusive, so that at the end, our students have choices and they could be productive members of the community. So to me, that is what the work is about. So kids have choices in the future. They're equipped with skills beyond the data that we're seeing. I can obsess with academic data all the time, but I also know, you know, our students come with, you know, with stories of their own experiences at home, you know, in school, and that becomes part of their experience every day. So that's it to me, is it really takes, it's going to take all of us, right? But instead of finding what do we need to fix, is first, what do we need to celebrate? Yesterday, the former board president, Janice Crutchfield, was in town.
Oh, okay.
She called me, and then, you know, I just said, do you want to see some of the, you know, renovations that we've done. I showed her the theater. I showed her, you know, the tennis courts and almost in tears, like, oh my gosh, right? I said, so part of that is just to make kids feel good that they're in spaces that honors them, mm-hmm. right? But more importantly, those are good, you know, playgrounds, renovating them. While those are so good for kids, at the end is also kids knowing they're loved, right? That they belong to Freeport, that we value them. And teachers and staff, all our staff also knowing I am part of the greater good.
Anna Alvarado, thank you, number one, for being on Timbuktu.
Loved it. Thank you. Am I going to Timbuktu for sure?
Well, you can go to Timbuktu. That'd be a good vacation. Okay. But Timbuktu. Yeah, I know. But thank you for being not only someone who cares about kids and cares about people, but thank you for being our superintendent of FSD.
My pleasure. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm sure glad that lady is running our district. Just wonderful. Thanks to Jim Yeager, Arthur Schmidt, and the HCC Mass Communications Department for making Timbuktu sound so much better than we really are. More interviews drop on Tuesday, and FreePod, the news you've been missing, drops on Thursday. You know why our community has stuff happening? Because you're in it. So long, everybody.